different things that take place when God is on the move. And I have a relative that I wasn't there when this happened, but I heard about it. I'm going to call him George, just to save his name. But George is a quiet guy. He kind of keeps to himself. He's orderly. He also kind of likes to have things planned out, know what to expect and those sort of things. And he's not the type to talk out in front of a group or a gathering and such. And one day he found himself at a gathering, and people were talking, and he wasn't. He was just kind of keeping to himself. And this was at a home. There were a bunch of people there. They eventually was kind of around a table. And as people were talking, there was an associate pastor of the church connected to this event that was there, and he noticed the guy not really saying much. And so he goes, hey, everybody, quiet down for a second. George has something he wants to share with all of you guys. To which he was a little bit taken off guard, and I'm not even sure what happened as far as if he said anything, but he was taken off by that. Now some of us are kind of like him, where we like to know what to expect. We like things to be planned out and orderly and structured. And anybody on that end of the spectrum when it comes to personality? All right, I got a few of you that are willing to confess. Yes, I see that hand, Glenn. We like things to be prepared. We don't like necessarily the element of surprise and those sort of things. We'd rather be knowing what's going to happen. Others of us, we like to fly by the seat of our pants. We love spontaneity. We love to just go with the flow. We're flexible, and we love energy. We don't like things to be planned out. That's boring. We just want excitement and just to run with it. And anybody on that end of the spectrum? Okay, we got a few more hands there. And sometimes God brings those two personalities together, and maybe there's a little conflicts there. And a lot of times that happens within marriage. A lot of conflict, not just a little, there's a lot, okay? We'll do marriage counseling next week. What's that? You're signing up. my wife and I, for some reason, opposites attract. And so I'm the orderly, I like to know what to expect, I don't like being taken off guard, and she just loves to just go with it. And that was kind of interesting when we got married. And one of the things I learned a little trick. It's called planned spontaneity. And so what I would do is, so that she can enjoy the element of surprise, because I like things to be prepared 3 years ahead of time, is I would prepare about a week ahead of time something that I think would be fun for us to go out and do, so that I can cope with life. I knew ahead of time. But I wouldn't tell her at all about it until maybe a little bit before we were going to do that. And then I'd say, hey, you want to go do such and such? And then she got to be surprised, and it was spontaneity, but for me it was planned, and that was kind of perfect. It worked out. But all of us have within us a degree of those two things. Security and that comfort and that kind of peace that comes with the plans and things kind of going in order, all of us enjoy that to some extent, right? Sometimes even us who are the craziest among us, we love to have moments where things are together and stable. And all of us also, those of us who are the most rigid, even have times where we just kind of need to let loose. We need to go out and do something fun. We need to kind of get some of our energy out there. All of us have those elements within us. And yes, Mary Lou, I think Glenn does have that somewhere within him. But sometimes those elements within us can disrupt the things that God wants to do. Because when I want stability and I want things to be planned and I want things to be in order, and sometimes when God begins to move, he kind of makes a muck of that. And I begin to resist and push back on what God is doing, because that's not me. That's not the way I work. That's not who I am. Or sometimes, because God doesn't always work in the spontaneity. Sometimes it says God is a God of order, right? And sometimes God begins to bring order to things, and we want things to be structured and spontaneous. And in the midst of that, God is trying to speak, and that's dull to us. We don't enjoy that. That's too much structure for me. And sometimes God is moving in that way. And God begins to move, but is our personality sometimes stepping in the midst of it? And we're going to see in a moment in Mark 16, as God began to move in a way like he never did before, he rose Jesus Christ from the dead. God was on the move, and all the different disciples and the ladies were experiencing, encountering God's move, and they began to respond and react to what God was doing, and we're going to learn some things from what they were doing. If I want to participate in what God's doing, and do you want to participate in what God's doing? You want to be connected to the move of God? And as God begins to stir things up, there are things that we need to be able to see if we're going to participate in this move. The first thing I need to see is my condition. Look at verse 1 in our passage. It says this, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him." First of all, it says when the Sabbath had passed. Now for them, the Sabbath was their day of worship. That was a Saturday. We worship on Sunday. And so they had just passed their worship day. And sometimes, have you ever had moments like that where you go Sunday morning to church and you encounter God and there's a move of God and you get his presence, you get uplifted, you're with other people who are like-minded, and the pastor preached a great sermon that week, amen? No amens on that. And you're just inspired, and then Monday morning rolls around. And you encounter those people at work that kind of irritate you and frustrate you, or you get back with your family who are kind of a struggle to you, and the Sunday has passed, and now I've encountered a little bit of a low. Now, besides that, they left an even bigger high than just coming off the Sabbath day. Understand that these ladies, these two Marys, were walking with Jesus for 3 years, day in and day out, with the risen Savior, with God himself in flesh. And all that, could you imagine the things that they saw, the wisdom that they heard, the things that he taught, the things that he said, and then all the miracles that he was doing day in and day out. And one of these ladies was his mother, who saw this for about 30 years, was encountering this great high of a move of God, and then the Sabbath has passed, and now they enter into a moment where he is no longer there. And they've come off of a high. And in fact, when they've come off the high, the expectations are no longer there either. Jesus promised them that in 3 days he would rise from the dead. But notice their reaction. They're coming, they're bringing spices because they want to honor him, but they're honoring the dead body. Because they didn't believe they were going to encounter a risen Savior, their expectations were diminished. And some of us, we've encountered past spiritual highs. God was moving in a great way. God was doing an awesome thing. And then when we encounter the season after that, our expectations go way low because we're in a new season. And because of that state, it's hard for us to encounter the move of God because we're looking backward and not looking forward at what God has. And this church has a rich history. There were days where this place was packed and they had two services and they were really touching the community and God was on the move. And I know that there are some of you who've been in this church 20, 30, 40 years, close to even the founding of this church. And you have seen those highs. But when all of a sudden God begins to move and God begins to stir and it's not as big as it was back in those highs, the expectations are low. And God wants us to participate in what God's beginning to move, and he wants us to respond with expectation, but we're coming off that high. Anybody ever been there before? And understand, when I was thinking about this, I was reflecting upon the temple in Jerusalem. And in the Old Testament, they built this magnificent temple. It was plated with gold, wood paneling all over the place, amazing temple. And God was moving. When Solomon prayed to dedicate that temple, the glory of the Lord filled it. God was moving. And then after the people of Israel sinned and they fell into captivity and the temple was attacked and destroyed and robbed and all of those things, then later, when Persia took over Babylon, they began to let the Jews go back, and they began to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple, and God was moving. God was getting them recommitted to the Lord, and God was doing great things. And so they rebuilt the temple, and there were many young people that were celebrating what God was doing. But in the midst of it, there were some older people who were weeping and crying at the side of the temple. Do you know why? Because they remembered how the temple looked before. And it now paled in comparison. And they could not delight in the move of God now because of the high in the past. And God is on the move, but we cannot begin to encounter that move or respond the way God wants us to unless we have the expectation that God will move despite maybe small beginnings, despite maybe that the high was much higher than where we are now, but God is on the move. And do you want to be part of it? Do you want to be in on God's move? Then I must be able to see my condition of a past high. Or verse 10. Verse 10 says this, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. She went and found some people who were mourning and weeping. Why? Well, I could understand. They had seen Jesus brutally beaten and crucified to where he was unrecognizable. This was their Savior. This was the love of their life. And so they had just come off of a past trauma. And all they could do is weep. And in fact, when someone came and told them that your Savior is risen from the dead, they couldn't even believe it. They couldn't even embrace the move of God because they were so traumatized by their past. And there are some of us among us that have experienced trauma in our lives, trauma that I could not even relate to. And it's okay for us to still kind of carry the burden of that and feel kind of the pain of that, but sometimes we get ourselves back into a corner and we're not interacting with others and we're closed off. And we're not ministering to people because we're just so consumed with trying to figure out how to heal up our wounds. And because of that, we're not encountering what God's doing because we're trapped in our trauma. When someone says Jesus is risen, we're just weeping and crying because we can't get over that hurdle. And this morning, God wants to help us get beyond that because God is on the move. But can I get past this condition that I'm in? I must be aware of this possible condition of coming off of a past high, of coming off a past low. Or verse 14 says this. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. So the 11 were the apostles. So you got Peter and John and all the apostles here, and they're just reclining. They're just taking it easy. And Jesus shows up, and he rebukes them because they don't have faith. They're not responding to this amazing move that God's doing. And they're just kind of dealing with life. And have you ever been there before where you experienced the trauma, and you got over it, but you just kind of press on? Or maybe you've experienced the past highs and things have changed and so you got used to it and you just kind of are pressing on with that. But you're just kind of living life. There's a stagnation there. There's a, I'm just relaxed. There's not a fire within me. There's not a passion within me for life and for God moving. I'm just kind of stagnant. And I can't move. I don't respond. And the scriptures say, Jeremiah, he had the word within him that it was like fire caught up with his in his bones. And some of us find ourselves, we're burnt out, we're tired. Why? Because we're not encountering a fresh move of God on a constant basis. It's somewhere in the past. And we're okay with life just kind of being as it is. We're just kind of going with the motions. And Jesus is there in the midst of it, rebuking us for our unbelief because God wants to move. But there's things within us that are hindering that because we can't see the condition of our hearts and spirits that's restraining our involvement in what God wants to do. God is on the move. God is on the rise. But we cannot participate in it. We're going to miss what God wants to do if we're not seeing the condition of our hearts and spirits, seeing the activity of God. Verse 2, look with me there. It says this, and very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Now, I'm not one to look for something significant in every little thing. You've seen some people that the wind blew and they say, wow, I think God was moving in that wind. Did you see that? A leaf fell at just the right time and that was God. And I'm not that kind of person. But the sun was on the rise. The day that they were approaching the tomb, the sun was coming up. And all the scenery was saying the Son of God, S-O-N, had risen from the dead. And there was a subtle suggestion that God was moving. Now, I would think that maybe I'm stretching it for a minute, but there's an interesting prophecy in Malachi 4, verse 2, which says of Jesus, prophesying of him, that the Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in its wings. Do you know how Son is spelled in Malachi? S-U-N. It is the Son, S-U-N, that is rising. And then, after all, on the day of resurrection, when the sun, S-O-N, is rising, and there's Mary and Mary with all their diminished expectations, they're approaching the tomb, thinking that it's with the dead body in it, and the sun had already risen, and the sun around them had risen as well, and there's this subtle suggestion that God is moving. And sometimes we miss that because we're just running through life and we're doing the things that we're doing, and God's subtly trying to say to us, look, I'm beginning to do something, but we can't see the activity of God. So we need to first notice the subtle ways that God is moving. And then verse 3 and 4, these are interesting verses, is something that's taking place here. Verse 3 and 4 says, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Now, when they buried people, they buried them in like a cave. And they would take a big boulder, and usually the cave would be at the end of a slope, and they would roll this boulder down in front of this tomb. And for Jesus, in Jesus' instance, the Roman government put a seal on it so that if it was tampered with, they would know that someone attempted to tamper with the body. And so there's this huge boulder here, and Mary are approaching the tomb, and they're thinking about the problem that they have, because they want to honor Jesus, they brought spices, they want to honor his body, and they're thinking about how can we solve this problem, because this boulder is here, we need to get rid of it. And you know what the interesting thing is? When they were trying to figure out the solution to the problem, it had already been solved. The stone was already rolled away while they were thinking about the problem. And when God is on the move, sometimes we're so much in a cloud, we're so much in a funk, that God had already brought solutions to problems that we're still hurt by. We're still broken. We're walking in that brokenness, and God has already given the deliverance. And so another thing we need to notice is the solutions that are around us that we're not even tapping into. And God is in the move, but do we see what God is doing? And then verse 6 says, and he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus. This is the angel speaking to them. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And now I marvel at this, because now, has anybody ever seen an angel before? Not in a vision or a dream, but literally seen an angel? See, not too many takers. I got a couple, but it's not too many. This is a unique experience. And most people, when they encounter an angel in a Bible, they are stricken with fear. And I can understand being startled and being fixated on the angel. But did you notice that they didn't even see? They came to see Jesus in the tomb. They didn't even notice that the tomb was open and the stone was rolled away. Because the angel had to say, hey, look. Look, the tomb is empty. They were so taken off guard by what was happening, they didn't even see the obvious. Because the less than obvious is the sun rising on the day they're coming, but the obvious is the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. God has moved, but they had to have the angel tell them to see it. And how many times God has, have you ever been there before? That God was obviously moving and you were missing it? You were the last to get it? And sometimes God is moving through the obvious, but we're not going to begin to participate in that. We're not going to get involved in it if we are not alert to see all the things that God is moving around us. He is on the rise. God is on the move. But are you seeing enough to encounter and be a participant of this move? And then verse 9 says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now, notice that this is Mary, the one who 7 demons were in her. And this is a woman who had a past. She had a lot of problems with where she came from. And the first person, when God began to move in resurrection power, the first person he came to was her. And it's startling how many times when God moves, it's those who are weak, those who are struggling, those who are messed up, they are the first ones to begin to encounter it. They are the first ones to begin to see it take place. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because they're just more open, they're just more desperate. But what we need to first do is look around at those who are weak and those who, and don't just punch your neighbor and say, hey, I'm watching to see if you're struggling, because you want to identify them as part of this weak classification. But look around and notice what's going on in the lives of the weak, because when God begins to stir, he's starting there. And if you want to know when God's moving, look there, and you will see God beginning to move. God is on the rise. Jesus is risen. He is moving. But do I want to be a part of it? Do you want to be in on what God is doing? We can't be there unless we're able to see, to be alert, to to first see the condition that's within me, to see the activity of God, thirdly, to see the purpose in it. Verse 8 says this, "And they," Mary and Mary again, "and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." They encountered an amazing thing. First they saw an angel, then they saw the empty tomb. They knew God was on the move. They knew Jesus had risen from the dead. And they walked away and didn't say a word. Now, we'll see in a moment that God's goal when he begins to stir is for us to speak, for us to begin to declare what God is doing. And it says they had fear, and so we're not really necessarily sure exactly what they were afraid of, but they were afraid to talk about what took place. And understand that the purpose of God's move is not for me to get some great encounter with the Lord. Because if I keep it to myself, then it was just for me. And when God begins to move, when revival takes place, it's not for me to feel good. It's not for me to enjoy God's presence. It's not for me to enjoy great music. It's not for me to get all knowledge of the Word of God. When God begins to move on our hearts, it's so that we will tell other people. And yet there's Mary and Mary. They're startled within their fear of what they encountered, and they're not saying a word, and they're keeping it to themselves. And I've been a part of a number of churches in my life, and so many times I've seen the Holy Spirit begin to stir something up within its congregation. And they got excited, and they celebrated what God was doing, but then they didn't go out into the community and tell anybody. And over time, I began to see that excitement wane, and what God was doing began to lift off of what was taking place. Because God's not going to keep stirring if we're not responding, if we're not speaking. And so the purpose is not for us to enjoy some great encounter with the Lord or feel good. Then verse 11 and 13, when they began to finally tell, verse 11 it says, "But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it." Then verse 13, "And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them." So as they finally began to tell, they're getting a negative response to what they're reporting. They won't even believe what they're saying. They're rejecting what they're telling them. And God's goal when he begins to move is not to eliminate rejection and negative responses. Did you know that? Because sometimes someone's going to think you're crazy for what the things that you say. Have you ever experienced that? Okay, they're going to think you're crazy. They might even dislike you because of it. And it's not because you're being argumentative. You're just telling them what you encountered. And when God begins to move, and God moves in Bethel, and God begins to do things, not everybody in the neighborhood is going to like it. Not even everybody that's here now might even like it. Because God's goal when he begins to stir is not to make sure that we don't have any criticisms of ourselves. As much as we might like that. Wouldn't you like to never have a criticism thrown your way? Okay. But when you discover you've lived in that season, let me know, because we're going to write a book together. Because it doesn't exist. And when God moves, and so many times, have you ever done that? You come off a great high, and it just takes one little word from somebody, and it deflates everything that's in you. And God doesn't want that to happen within us. God wants us to encounter a move to such a degree that it doesn't matter what other people say about it. We've encountered the risen Jesus Christ. He is alive, and so I don't care if somebody doesn't believe it. We know it's real. And so if I want to participate in this move of God, I need to see what the purpose is in it. And the purpose is found in this, verse 7 and verse 15. First verse 7 says this, "The angel says to them, 'But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you.'" Then verse 15, Jesus speaking says this, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" This is the goal. When God begins to move, if God's touched your life, if God's transformed you, if God's healed you, if God's changed you, if God's delivered you, then his goal is so that you will tell somebody else. And so God wants to open our mouths. In fact, the whole reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, look at it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says that we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that we will be his witnesses, so that we will talk, so that we will speak. In fact, even King Saul, when he found himself backslidden, but among the prophets and encountering the move of God, you know what happened? He prophesied. He couldn't help but to speak. And if I'm going to encounter the move of God, then I need to understand this mission. That it's not about making everything great for me. It's about telling. It's about spreading these things that God is doing. God is on the move, but do I want in on it? because I'm not going to be a part of this thing. I might miss it if I'm not seeing my condition, seeing the activity of God, seeing the purpose, and lastly, seeing the action that needs to be a part of my life. Verse 6, again, the angel speaking says, and he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." He says, do not be alarmed. Why should they not be alarmed? You seek Jesus. That's why you shouldn't be alarmed. Because you seek the one who promised that he would be risen from the dead. You seek the one who can conquer death. How many people can be crucified and rise up again? You seek this Jesus. And so if I want to encounter the move of God, I must be seeking Jesus Christ. Because when I'm seeking him, what does it say? Draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. If I'm seeking, I will encounter it. What does he say? Jesus said, what father would give to his son a stone when he asked for a bread? But how much more will he give of us the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's the one thing that's a guarantee, that if you ask that from God, he will give it to you. The move of the Holy Spirit in your life. But I'm not going to encounter that. I'm not going to be a part of that if I'm not seeking him. Then verse 12 says, after these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. He appeared in another form. This is the intriguing thing about Jesus, because when he rose from the dead, they didn't recognize him. Now, I don't know if it was because the last time they saw him, he was a mangled mess. You couldn't even tell who he was. But for whatever reason, this glorified, resurrected body, there was something different to it. And in fact, it says there, when he appeared to others, he was appearing to them in a different form. Now, I don't know what it means by that, but there was variations of what was taking place. And what happens is, when I experience the move of God, I recognize what that looked like for me, and I recognize what God was doing and what took place. And then when I hear that somebody else is experiencing the move of God, it doesn't look like the way I experienced it. And then I try to correct them and stifle them and say, no, that's not how God does that. Because that's not how he worked in my life. He doesn't appear in that form. He doesn't work in that way. And we do that even with past things, the things we've encountered in the past. And when we did this and we did that, that worked. And then God moved and people got saved. And so that's the way he works. And then when someone else comes along and says, hey, maybe let's try this idea. No, that's not the way God moves. He only moves in this box over here. This is the only place he moves. And God wants us to learn to find a way to be flexible. Because sometimes God's going to move and it's going to look different. And it's not going to look like the way you encountered it. But again, some of us, we have that rigid personality. And no. The God is a God of order and it has to stay this way. Because this is what I like and this is what I'm used to. But God is on the move, and we are going to miss it at times because we're demanding him to do it the same way again. Could you imagine, what would marriage be like if every day you said, honey, I know, but we need to keep everything the same, all right? So no new ideas. That date light night sounds great, but we've never done it that way, all right? Could you imagine that? But God begins to move, and we find ourselves inflexible. That's what was happening to the Pharisees. The Pharisees had been raised up in traditions and experiencing things. They were seeking God, but they thought God can only move this way. And when Jesus came along, they resisted it so much that they crucified him. And when God moves, we're going to find within our hearts this desire to resist and reject and stand against it. And wouldn't you hate to be the ones who called out, crucify? Wouldn't you rather be the ones who were seeking him at the tomb? God is on the move, but where is my flexibility? Then verse 16 says, whoever believes, note that, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. I must trust in the work of the Holy Spirit. I must trust in the Lord. If I don't, then nothing's going to come within my life. I have to believe. These expectations have to be there. And as we go week after week after week after week, and we wait patiently for what God begins to do, and we look at things externally, we might lose hope or faith, but God wants us to be able to believe in the midst of all of it. Because I'm not going to encounter it unless I have this belief within me. And then lastly, verse 17 through 20. These verses say this as Jesus is speaking. And these signs may, Does it say that in your translation? These signs may or might. These signs will. Not a possibility, not maybe in some season. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And then verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Why was Jesus moving among them? They went out and they preached, and the Lord was working within them. The Lord was accompanying signs. And you know, so many times in America we ask, why is God not doing those kind of miracles here? We hear of them from missionaries taking place in other countries. Why are they not taking place here? But many times the miracles are to confirm the message. And if we're not sharing the message with anybody, then why do we need any confirmation? Confirmation of what? That I go to church? Confirmation of what? That we find ourselves in a building? Confirmation of a message. And I believe, just like then, when they began to go and preach and proclaim and declare and do the stuff, then God began to move. Then God began to heal. And God wants to move among us, but are we going to get ourselves outside of our comfort zone and begin to take action? Because listen, you don't have to wait for a program to come along. Do you know that? We're going to come up with programs and ideas and activities, but you don't have to wait for me. When you get the fire burning in yourself, then go witness. Go share this thing with other people. Because that's when God begins to move, is when I get active. But God is on the move. Jesus Christ is on the rise. But do you want in on it? Do you want to be a part of what God is doing? Worship team, if you would come and prepare to lead us, and I'd like to ask you, the rest of you would stand with us, please. God is on the move. Jesus Christ is risen. On the very day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he moved in a day like none other, God is wanting to move that same way today. He wants to begin to change our lives and transform us and do amazing things. But do you want in on it? Do you want to participate in what God is doing? Then I have to be willing to see what things are in my heart that need to change. I need to be able to see the activity that's going on around me and accepting it. I need to begin to see the purpose in it, that is to declare the glories of God. I need to begin to see these actions come within my life, and I need to begin to do something, not just wait around. Jesus is going to begin to move when I do something. He's waiting on you. Did you know that? He's waiting on you to move. And then he's going to be right there with you to confirm with all those signs and wonders. Because listen, the person who goes out there and does it encounters God so much more than just standing in here and singing a song. And if you would, for a moment, we're going to seek the Lord at these altars. And I want to ask you, don't wait for me to give a word that directly strikes your heart. I believe that God's already tugging on your heart. That you know that God's moving and you want to be a part of it, but you know there's something within you that needs to change. And so I challenge you, just come. Just begin to come. Don't wait for me to stop talking. Just come and find a place at these altars. The Holy Spirit wants to transform your life if you would seek him. What does it say? The angel said, do not be alarmed because you seek Jesus. And God is on the move, but do you want in on it? Do you want to be a part of what God is doing? Then you have to begin to seek him. You have to begin to let go of the conditions that are within your heart and let him change who you are. If that's you, come. You've been on a past high and you have lost your expectations, then come and let God revive that within you. You've come off a past low. You've experienced trauma in your life that you've I'm not saying the pain's not gone, but I'm saying you've not been able to live. You've not been able to act, and God wants to deliver you this morning. Then come. You find yourself here this morning and you're burnt out. God wants to light that fire back within you. God wants to revive us this morning. You find yourself here this morning and you just don't have that spiritual eye. You just can't seem to see what God is doing, and God wants to open those spiritual eyes. God wants you. And you might see yourself like Mary Magdalene. You're nothing. You're a person who has a terrible past. But God is saying He wants to use you to prophesy. He wants to use you to bring words of wisdom and words of knowledge. He wants to use you to heal and bring other people to the Lord. But you find yourself in that place that you can't see. God wants to awaken your ability to see this morning. So come. Come and seek Him as God is moving. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've encountered so many things that God has done in your life, but your mouth never became open. Perhaps like Mary and Mary, you were afraid. But God wants to deliver you from that fear this morning. Come and receive that deliverance. Or you find yourself here this morning and you've just been immobilized. You cannot move. You've not been able to act. Maybe it's because of how you see yourself. You see yourself negatively. Maybe it's because somebody else sees you negatively. Maybe you don't know what to do. And like we said last week, sometimes God just calls you to go and He'll tell you what to do when you get there. But God wants you to take action because that's when the move of God begins to take place. And if God's speaking to you that you need to become that kind of person, you want His help, what did He say? What father would give his son stone instead of bread when he asked for it? How much more does the Lord want to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us now? Let's seek Him together.
There is a blood that costs a life, that paid my way. Death, its price. When it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days He breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dried every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that He's coming back for you. There is a blood that sights the blind, that heals the sick, and the lonely finds. And it has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out and cleanse my soul. Let His liquid glory flow, because He lives to make me whole. I owe my life, and I owe my all. So I come to tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves. I'm gonna shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. This life, this price, this blood, this one, this life, 'cause he paid the price with his precious blood. Oh, what can wash away my sins? What can wash away my sin? Nothing, oh, nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, oh, nothing but the blood. What can wash? What can wash away my sin? Nothing, oh, nothing. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, oh, nothing but the blood. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dies every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves. Gonna shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you.
Hallelujah. Lord, you are here in our midst this morning. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving within us. And Lord, I ask, Lord, as I'm discerning, there are some here that are struggling with doubts and struggling with believing, as the apostles did. Lord, I ask that you would appear to them. I ask that you would appear to them in your resurrection power, and that you would melt away all doubts, and that you would confirm, Lord, confirm with the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives that he is alive, that he is the Lord, that he is God Almighty. Lord, I ask that you would release within us a boldness. Lord, that you would help us not to be afraid, not to be timid, not to be shy about what God is doing in our midst, but you would help us to tell, that you would help us to speak, that you would give us the words to speak, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would break down the walls, the emotional walls and barriers that are within our hearts to what God does, that you would help us to be able to step out of our comfort zones, that you would help us to be flexible to encounter you in ways that perhaps go counter to our nature and our personalities. Lord, I ask that this morning is the day you brought healing to trauma, that you have healed and that you have mended hearts. And Lord, we are not going to walk away from this place just enjoying something that God has done in our midst, but we're going to tell. We're going to speak of the glories of the Lord and believe for great things. We ask, Lord, that when we leave this place this morning, that the presence and the power would not stop here. But Lord, as your apostles and your disciples left the day of Pentecost, they turned the world upside down. And the power of the Holy Spirit was moving out in the neighborhoods, moving out in the streets. And Lord, we ask that you would revive that again within us, that you would awaken within us gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, there are some here this morning that they feel insecure, like I said, inadequate. But Lord, you haven't called us to become perfected before your gifts begin to work in us. But Lord, you use the weak, you use the broken to move under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask that you begin to release a fresh anointing within those gifts of the Holy Spirit coming down upon us like tongues from heaven. Let that be released among us, Lord. Make your body mobilized. Lord, we want to honor your name. Lord, you went through so much when you died on that cross. So much coming down here and taking on human flesh. And then you rose from the dead, and Lord, we don't want to take that lightly. We don't want to neglect the work that you did, but we want to honor you by being just as much sacrificial. Lord, you said that we ought to take up our crosses and follow you. So help us, Lord. Move in our lives. We thank you for what you've done here this morning, but let this just be the beginnings of the move of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen.